It is not the will of God that these people should do everything. So here you'll find problems arose. First, the problem among the widows. They had many widows. And the Hellenistic widows were neglected in their supply. Why? Because all these apostles were Hebrew believers. Now, even though the church in Jerusalem is all Jewish, they were all Hebrews. But they are two different kinds of Hebrews. The Hellenistic Hebrews, Hellenistic Jews, that is, Jews in dispersion, who lived in foreign countries, and they began to absorb foreign culture. And there you have the Hebrew Jews. They were people lived in the promised land. And even among them, they find differences. And because the 12 apostles, they were all Hebrew Jews. They did not know the conditions with the Hellenistic widows. And they were neglected, not purposely. And murmur began to come forth. Now, thank God. You know, problems are good because they are opportunities if they are solved in the right way. So do not be afraid of problems. As long as we live on earth, there will be problems. As long as there's a local church, there will be problems. But the problem is how to solve them. So here you'll find these apostles, they were very sensitive before the Lord. When they heard the rumors, immediately they went to the Lord. And they discovered that it is the will of God that they should not monopolize everything in the church. This is not God's will. They should devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of God's word. So they asked the brothers and sisters to come together and said, choose 7 among you, full of the Holy Spirit, of good report, and we will let them serve the table. And you know what? All the 7 chosen, one may be questioning, were all Hellenistic Jews. You find these brothers and sisters, there is no selfishness in them. Now, if you Hellenistic widows suffer, all right, we'll go overboard and choose all Hellenistic people to take care of the table, that you may be well taken care of, even if the Hebrew widows may suffer a little bit. There is no self there. And the word of God increased. Brothers and sisters, these 7 were never called deacons. You know, in the Bible, it's always functions first, not title first. Because if title comes first, then it becomes a position. And it's very dangerous. Because when you put people in a certain position, he thinks that he has certain authority in himself. So you find in the scripture, there is no title there. It's just a function. These 7 did the function of deacons, serving the table. But they were never called deacons. And then, brothers and sisters, persecution came. You know, these brothers and sisters who were together, they were so happy together. They were so satisfied. They didn't want to leave. They forgot the Great Commission. Go to the nations disciple all nations, starting from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, to the end of the world. Be my witnesses. Now, brothers and sisters, they were so happy in Jerusalem, and thank God they had such a glorious time together, nobody wanted to leave. And they forgot the Great Commission. In other words, the church began to look within itself instead of being used as witness for the Lord. So the Lord, in his marvelous way, sent persecutions to the church. And all the believers scattered. Strangely, not the apostles scattered, but the believers scattered. The apostles stayed behind. They stayed behind to continue the work of the Lord there. And brothers and sisters, with all these scattered abroad, they went to Judea, they went to Samaria, and they even went to Gentile cities, and the gospel was spread out. You think that Jerusalem was now empty of believers? Not so. If you read the book of Acts, you find that even so, it seems as if the church in Jerusalem were not lacking in any believers. They are still full of believers. That's the way it always works. And then when you come to chapter 11 of the book of Acts, not until chapter 11, you know, Peter began to move out. The apostles began to move. And then you find, when you come to chapter 11, verse 30, you find that there was famine. So the church in the Gentile world, the churches in the Gentile world, they began to send relief to the church in Judea, in Jerusalem, to the believers in Judea. And Paul and Barnabas, with the contribution, they came to Jerusalem, to the elders in Jerusalem. You know, in the beginning, the 12 apostles. Then you find the 7 functioning as deacons. Then you find the apostles. Peter began to move out. And the book of Acts, of course, does not record all the footsteps of the apostles. We can believe that the other apostles began to move out too, because the apostles sent out once. And God began to raise up from the local assembly some into leadership. So when you come to Acts 11:30, you find there were elders in the church in Jerusalem. Now, who were the elders? Of the 12 apostles, we know that only 2 also serve as elders, Peter and John. The others never became elders in a local church. So you find that the Lord, through the years, has raised up some brothers who are of spiritual stature, who are able to take responsibility, the government in the local church in Jerusalem. We were not told how they came about. But we were told it was a fact. I think that's very, very beautiful. You know, we always like to ask, how did it come about? Why? Because we always think of the method, the way, the technical. Brothers and sisters, you find it is not technical. It is not a method. It is life. It is a manifestation of life, of the Holy Spirit. You do not bother about the technical things. But the fact is, there were elders in Jerusalem. And of course you'll find that those who went out because of persecution in chapter 9, you'll find the persecution, they went forth, they went to Phoenicia, they went to Cyprian, and they went to Antioch. And some who were of Cyprian and background, they began to preach to the Greek, to the Gentiles too. In the beginning, they only preached to the Jews that dispersed in those cities. But now they began to preach to the Gentiles. And the Lord began to save lots of people, Gentiles, in Antioch. And the news came to Jerusalem. And the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas to go and visit them. Now, brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful. Because the church in Jerusalem is not the mother church. It is not the center of all the churches. The church in Antioch is not a daughter church or a sister church. It is an independent church from Jerusalem. But when the church in Jerusalem heard that the Lord had done something in Antioch, they want to have fellowship with them. Not to go and control them or to pull them into their orbit. Not at all. They wanted to have fellowship with them. You know, if they send the apostles there, probably there will be some suspicion. But they sent a brother there. And this brother has a Hellenistic background. So he understood. And he was a man of big heart. He is called the son of consolation. You know, they send the right person. Not narrow-minded. You know, if they send somebody that is Judaistic, then when they go and see these Gentiles getting saved, they say, you need to be circumcised. You need to keep the law. And you need to obey the church in Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, no such thing. No such thing. They send a brother there to make the connection of spiritual affiliation. Not an organizational connection. Because every local church is independent before God. He went there. Oh, my time is up. I have to borrow some time, can I?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So he went there and he saw what the Lord had done. And being a teacher, he exhorted them to continue on, strengthen them in the Lord. And he found that it was a work more than he could do. So he was of such a broad-minded person, a big-hearted man. You know, Barnabas is a big heart. He went to find Saul of Tarsus in Cilicia. He was the one who introduced Saul after Saul was converted to the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem because everybody was suspicious of him. They are not touching, but Barnabas, big heart, he introduced him. And now he went to find Saul because he knew Saul was raised by God. And he felt that he could help. You know, there was no selfishness there. Brothers and sisters, sometimes you find, this is my place. Now, I'm here. Don't come. If anybody come and want to take over, well, this is my church. No. It is the church of God. And whatever is good for the church of God, Barnabas says, come, Paul, come and help. So these two minister to the brother, to the many, a whole year, every day. Every day. And that church is really strengthened. And the Bible says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Brothers and sisters, you know, before that time, the world thinks that these people were only a sect of Judaism. In the eyes of the Roman Empire, it was a sect of the Judaism. Because in the beginning they were all Jews, mostly Jews. And now there were more Gentiles than Jews. So it didn't fit anymore. But what should they call them? The Bible sometimes says the way, the people, the way. In other words, the way of life. Their way of life is different from the world. But they do not know how to define them. You know, it was in Antioch that people pensed, oh, these people, they were Christians. You know, in the beginning, the word Christian is not an honorable name. It is a nickname. Because they couldn't find out who you are. And they said, well, who are these people? They are Christ men. That's Christian. They are Christ men. Because with them, Christ is everything. Christ is their life. Christ is their everything. You know? So they are Christians. The church in Antioch was not started by apostles. They were started by believers who were scattered through persecution. As a matter of fact, the church in Antioch produces apostles. You know, today we think that it is apostle that plants the church. If there is no apostle, there is no church. Brothers and sisters, not so. It is the church that produces the apostles. Because in chapter 13 of the book of Acts, you find that when five prophets and teachers, they were ministering unto the Lord, and the Holy Spirit said, set me apart, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I want them to do. And they were sent out as apostles. Strangely again, brothers and sisters, you never find in the book of Acts there were elders in the church in Antioch. If you find, let me know. The Bible always say they, the Christians, the brethren. But strangely, I cannot find the elders in the church in Antioch. Does it mean that there were no elders there? No government there? I don't think so. I think it tells us one thing. It tells us when brothers and sisters are really holding fast ahead and are really loving one another and are really walking in the Spirit and are really functioning as they should. You know, government is hidden. It is not manifested. It is there, but it is not seen. Whenever government becomes too evident, the government is there. But it is as if it is not there. Brothers and sisters, that is the spiritual peak. So I think probably that's the reason why you find the elders are never mentioned there. But you find the government is there. Everything is in order. But we know there must be elders there. How do we know? Because when Barnabas and Paul They were sent out by the Holy Spirit to do the work. They traveled from place to place. They went to Galatia and they visited Derbe, Lystra, Iconia, and all these places. And when they preached the gospel, a number of people got saved. And when they got saved, brothers and sisters, what these two apostles do? Did they stay there with them? No. After they were saved, actually, if they wanted to stay, then they couldn't, because they were persecuted out. They were cast out. So you'll find that after these people got saved, the apostle left them with hope. Left them with the Holy Spirit. Left them with the head. Left them with God. And they went to another place to preach. And these people, they just love one another. They just exhort one another. They just care for one another. While the apostles were away. And after some time, the apostle came back. In chapter 14 of Acts, when they came back, you find they continued to exhort them to persevere, knowing that we must suffer in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And they chose elders in their midst. So that shows there must be elders in Antioch. They chose elders as the governing body of the church. Outwardly, the apostles chose them. Actually, the Holy Spirit appointed them. Because in Acts chapter 20, you find Paul told the elders in Ephesus. He said, the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders to shepherd the flock of God, the church of God, whom he has bought with his blood. So, brothers and sisters, you find that during the intervening time, these brothers and sisters were together. It is evident. Some care, some order, something has to be done, some responsibility has to be taken up. So eventually you'll find there will be some brothers who begin to show some responsibility. They are seeking the Lord is more earnest than the others, and they seem to grow a little bit further out. The Holy Spirit has manifested them as fit to be overseers. And the apostles, with their discernment, they came back and they just recognized them. So actually it is the Holy Spirit who appoints them, not the apostles. This is the way that the government in the local assembly evolves. Again, you'll find in the beginning, many assemblies began in houses, in homes. You find that in Ephesus, it began in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. You find that in Colossae, it began in the house of Philemon. You find in Laodicea, it begins in the house of Nympha. You find in Rome, again it begins in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. I think it's very natural, because in the beginning you find that it begins in a home, a few brothers and sisters. And they just come together in a house, in a home, like a family. And when you are meeting in a home, there is not much government that is needed. And probably naturally, the host of that house will bear most responsibility. But as they begin to increase, then you'll find there is a need of eldership. There is a need of government. So that's how it gradually evolved. It is, I will again say, supernaturally, naturally developed. Now, I hope I'm giving you the history of how the government in local church comes about. And God willing, tomorrow, we'll like to deal with what is local government and how do you exercise it. If you have time and you haven't read well, at least 1 Timothy and Titus, I will hope that you will try to read them. You know, I'm not reading the scripture. It doesn't mean that I'm speaking outside of the scripture, but I just suppose that you have all read them, so we don't need to read it here. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, even though we are touching something that is on earth, and yet we know that it does have its effect in heaven. So we just pray that Thou will enable us to approach these things not with an external mechanical or technical concept, but we may really approach it in a life living way. Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt show us that Thou art God, the government of the universe, and Thou dost set up Thy government in the church. Show us Thy government that we may know how to behave in Thy house. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.